Gaining productive cautiousness in our study through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom dictates that in view of the dangers that we face in our lives, we need to exercise caution. We need to exercise caution with regard to the dangerous proliferation of bears in Connecticut. The editorial Facing Reality on Bears reported that recently a young bear appeared to be targeting a toddler playing in a residential driveway in Torrington. A husky was in hot pursuit of the Bruin, which turned away from the child, ducked under a boat trailer, and fled from the property. But livestock have been killed, property damaged, and people injured. The frequency of bear-human conflicts has increased dramatically. Yet state leaders apparently have been intimidated by people who think bears are smart and cute and cuddly, as we noted in an April 14 editorial. These animal activists have dictated the terms of bear management in the state, while lawmakers who actually want to solve a problem come up short in every legislative session. We need to exercise caution with regard to the status of Social Security. Within 7 years, Social Security's trust fund is expected to run dry and trigger benefit cuts of 22% for everyone up to and including widows living on survivor's checks. Unreasonably, roughly 34% of Social Security dollars go to filers with adjusted gross incomes above $100,000. Too often, Social Security is a transfer of wealth from the young and the unpropertied to the old and the comfortable. Despite facing large deficits, Social Security now pays the wealthiest couples roughly $100,000 in annual benefits, more than five times the poverty threshold for a retired household. And the maximum couples benefit has doubled since 1990 and is projected to double again around 2070. By that point, the wealthiest couples will receive $200,000 in combined benefits, according to a March 2026 paper from the Committee for a Responsible Budget. However, lots of legislators believe that the political cost of telling voters the unhappy news today exceeds the cost of letting the cuts occur tomorrow. And it's a political hot potatoes. We need to exercise caution with regard to social deterioration in our country. Last month, a three-year-old girl was struck by a car and killed while crossing a street in Manchester, apparently unaccompanied, at 4:30 in the morning, 45 minutes before sunrise. The State Department of Children and Families quickly acknowledged that it had been investigating two complaints made a week earlier about a lack of supervision in the child's home. A doorbell camera showed the child trying to open a neighbor's door, presumably for help, without awakening the occupants and then hurrying back towards the street. If, as it seems, DCF is understaffed and suffers debilitating turnover, it is because child neglect is an overwhelming problem, probably the worst facing both the state and the country. Millions of children have only one parent, if that, receive much less parenting than they need, and live in poverty, largely because welfare policy presumes that fathers are no longer needed in their children's homes, and that childbearing outside of marriage is so good that it should be subsidized heavily by the government. So we ask, in view of the dangers we face today, what would God advise on exercising caution? It's obvious that we have to live with caution. But what does God advise? Well, God's wisdom, his chokmah, or fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing, applies to many issues of human concern, including the issue of being cautious in today's world. So we view Proverbs as translated from the Hebrew biblical text in the book of Proverbs that inform us about God's advice on being cautious. And I'm going to go through the Proverbs. I've translated them and we've organized them. First of all, God has revealed in his word that we do need to be cautious with regard to the dangers that we face in life. Proverbs 27 verse 12 states, "The prudent see calamity and take refuge, but the naive keep going and suffer." So God does not want us to be naive. He wants us to be wise about the fact that we do live in a world where there is danger and we need to prepare for it. Proverbs 30 verse 15 to 16 claims, "There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough: the grave, the barren womb, land that is never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. Now the grave and fire destroy life, where the barren womb and water are life-giving entities. So though some things positively add to our safety, others can perilously destroy it. So though we must appreciate those entities that are constructive, we must always be cautious to discern some entities that can be destructive. So obviously we have to be cautious. Now how? God's word reveals how, where, and why we should exercise caution in life as follows. First of all, we need to be cautious in how we relate to Almighty God himself. Isn't that something? God loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us, but we have to be cautious in how we relate to God. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 claims there's no wisdom, no insight, and no plan that can succeed against Yahweh. Yahweh is, in Hebrew, it translates I am. That's the I am. We use the word the Lord in this context. So no wisdom, no insight, and no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The thing we have to watch out with God is that we need to respect him and we need to honor him, because if we plan anything against God, it will fail. That's a given. So we have to respect the Lord. And then Proverbs 20 verse 25 says, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly to the Lord or Yahweh and only later to consider his vows, because Yahweh will hold him responsible to keep his vows. If you promise something for the Lord's going to hold you to it. So we have to be very careful what we promise to the Lord. And then we need to be cautious in how we relate to other people. We relate to other people all the time. When you go to the store, you're relating to the clerk that's there, or you're relating to other customers that are in line. When I go to one of the grocery stores and you have a quarter and you're sticking it into the cart to pull it and so forth. Sometimes they have a quarter already there. Sometimes they don't have a quarter. Sometimes you pick a cart where the wheel lags. And it's quite an experience. You're always running into people, into situations. So we need to be cautious how we relate to other people. We need to respect the precedents that were established by our forefathers. For Proverbs 22 verse 28 claims, do not remove an ancient boundary stone set up by our forefathers. I picked up that flyer this morning I have, and I'm going to put it into the historical record. I believe Mrs. Eunice Barnes, who a number of us know, she's now with the Lord, but she might have actually been at that particular lawn social, because she was involved with the lawn social, and I think she would have been a young woman, maybe in her 20s, when that lawn social was going on. So it's interesting. God wants us to respect. And you'll notice on our property there's a bench over here and some trees. That's in memory of Eunice Barnes, dear and a godly woman. Served the Lord for many years. She was a school teacher here in the New Hartford area. And she worked and taught in our Sunday school classes a number of years. But we need to respect the establishment that was set up by our forefathers. And then we need to respect human authority figures. Proverbs 30 verses 29 and 30 teaches there are three things that are stately in their stride, four that move stately, bearing with a stately bearing, a lion mighty among beasts who retreats before nothing, a strutting rooster, a male goat, and a king with his army around him. And then Proverbs 22 verse 3 states, a sensible man beholds dangerous calamity ahead for disobeying authority and takes refuge. But the naive cross over, and as they violate the authority by continuing to disobey it, and they are punished by being fined. So we have to respect authority. C, we need to be cautious with people who are under stress. This is interesting. Proverbs 30 verses 21 to 23 refers to the volatile dangers of circumstances that produce stress for people, as it states, under three things, the earth, and the earth here represents the world or people, the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up, a servant who becomes a king, a fool who is full of food, an unloved woman who is married, and a maidservant who displaces her mistress. Each one of these circumstances represents and pictures people under stress. And if people are under stress, they have the potential of being volatile. So you got to watch out for that. If people are under stress, we have to be very careful in how we relate to them. And our goal, of course, is to diffuse that stress so that people won't blow. Then we need to be cautious about our selection of friends. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 teaches, a righteous man does reconnaissance, or he investigates. It's the verb tour in the intensive hifl. His friend. But the way of the wicked who do not investigate leads them astray. Now this is interesting. God wants us not just to pick a friend with someone who appears to be friendly. You have to be very selective of our friends, because a person may appear to be friendly on the surface, but actually be destructive underneath. So we have to be careful. And then three, we must cautiously restrain our own behavior, lest what we might carelessly do might backfire to harm us. We must be transparently honest. Proverbs 22:5 states, barbs and snares are in the path of the one who is perverted. But he who guards his life principle, his nephesh, his physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual life, stays far from them. We must not indulge in our lusts. Proverbs 31:3-5 states, do not give or spend your strength on immoral women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Now, this happens to be a mother who is addressing her son who is a prince. We can turn that around and say a father who is addressing to his daughter who may be a princess. So you got to watch out for immoral people, and watch out for substance abuse. God doesn't want us to get involved in that. We can actually hurt ourselves and our relationships with people if we indulge. Then we need to be humble. Proverbs 21, verse 29 reveals, a wicked man puts up a bold front, but an upright man, he gives thought to his ways. See, an upright man isn't necessarily putting up a bold front, because he may run into trouble that way. So before he struts around like he's a big, brave man, he makes sure he understands what's going on around him. And then we have to be careful with our words. We must be cautious if emotions run high. As Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 states, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. So especially if feelings are running high, we need to be very careful with our words. And then we must be careful in what we say about ourselves to others. Proverbs 30, verses 32-33 adds, if you have played the fool and exalted yourself, or if you have planned evil, clap your hand over your mouth. For as churning milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. There's another proverb that says, let someone else talk about your great things. Don't you talk about it yourself. Let someone else praise you, not yourself. We have to be very careful what we do with our words. So the lesson is, in view of the dangers that we face in life, we must be cautious in relating to God, to others, and to ourselves. To achieve this, we must believe on Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's in application section number one below. To become indwelt by the Holy Spirit, followed by relying on the Holy Spirit for behavior control. That's application number two. To obey the Proverbs on caution. Caution. We need to be cautious. So, we get to the application section. And it's my hope that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. But just in case, and this is something that gives me a nightmare at times, that there may be someone who's listening to me minister who doesn't accept Christ as their Savior and they don't go into eternity with the Lord. May we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 15:1-11. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. That includes me as a pastor. I've sinned as the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. But God sent his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as the Lamb of God on the cross, bearing the brunt of the wrath of God against our sin, and he did it in our place. and he died and was buried and rose again. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what God does, he applies our sin to Christ's atonement. Christ pays for it. Then we are forgiven our sins. We are born into the family of God, and God gives us eternal life. If you haven't made that decision yet, I would encourage you to do it today, because none of us knows how long he has to live. I'm sure last Sunday, Mary Schaedler had no idea, even though she knew the Lord, thank God. She had no idea that she'd be entering into the presence of the Lord by Wednesday. But that happened. And when we enter into the presence of the Lord, or when we go into eternity, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We don't get a second chance. So in view of the fact that this may be the last time you have a chance to hear the gospel, I would urge you to make that decision immediately. And then number two, may we rely on the Holy Spirit for the behavior control we need to obey Scripture in living with wise caution. Now, each issue in our introduction can be addressed by heeding Scripture relative to wise caution as follows. On dealing with bear threats, or the bear threat, Proverbs 27:12 teaches that if we see trouble ahead, we should take refuge to avoid harm. So reports of near tragedies reveal that we must watch out for bears as a way of life. I hate to say this, but I wonder sometimes if it's going to take a bear actually killing a person before the state legislature wakes up. I don't know, but I hate to say something like that, but that's what my concern is. So if you're going outside, and especially if the children are going outside, keep an eye out. And then number two, on dealing with the delay of legislators to address Social Security. Proverbs 21:30 states that no wisdom, no insight, or plan can succeed against the Lord. And guess what? The Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 directs us to rely on our own work for our livelihood, that we might not be in any need. So ideally, we should not even rely on Social Security for our livelihood security, but obey God in addressing our material needs by way of our own workmanship. I'm in my late 70s, and so I am drawing on Social Security. But at this point, you know, in a number of years, if Social Security is cut back 22%, I have to prepare for it, and that's what I'm doing right now, because I don't know what Congress is going to do or if it has the capability of doing it. But God wants us to watch out for our own livelihood. On dealing with the stress people face in a deteriorating society, and I'm thinking about this situation with this 3-year-old girl that was killed before a sunrise in Manchester, and the stress that has got to be occurring in various homes. Proverbs 30 verses 21 to 23 shows that stressed people make the earth tremble. So if people in society become more stressed and thus more volatile, we must be gentle with everyone to help lessen their volatility. And then we must also choose our friends well, Proverbs 12:26. You know, when we go out in public, when we're going shopping, or when we're in public and maybe we're going to some special reception, or there could be an event, entertainment event and everything, we need to keep in mind that the society around us is under pressure. And there are a lot of people that are stressed. And what we need to do is to be as kind as we can, as thoughtful as we can, as gentle as we can, so that we can be helpful in diffusing their stress. It's such an important thing for us as believers to do. And so may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we rely on the Holy Spirit for the behavior control to heed Scripture on wisely being cautious. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you for the insight that you provide us. You do acknowledge that we live in a world where there are dangers. And we do need to be cautious. We need to be wise and frugal and careful. We ask, Father, that we would be careful in how we relate to you as a God who is to be respected and obeyed. How we relate to other people. How everybody needs to be respected and treated decently, and how we relate to ourselves, watching our own behavior so that we restrict bad behavior and restrain ourselves and be careful so as to be edifying to everyone that's around us and to the Lord. I ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our midst this morning who as yet does not have the indwelling Spirit of God for that behavior control, because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that before the day's out, Father, they would make that decision to believe in Him, that they might have eternal life and be indwelt by the Spirit of God and be equipped to live in a world where there is danger, and to do so with real wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.